take it from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Half an hour of laughter seconds, every minute practice seconds. Yes, join Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards are in session again and fully booked for the next 30 minutes. Also on hand are Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynote, and Frank Antelis here with the augmented review orchestra. So if you've got half an hour, that's more or less clear.
Have you seen my false eyelashes anywhere?
Your false eyelashes?
Yes, I left them on the mantelpiece.
Well, that's what it was. And I've been telling everybody I just killed a centipede. Oh, my gosh, Joy. You're certainly all dolled up, aren't you? I like that dress.
Oh, this old thing, there's nothing much to it.
That's what I like about it. But what's the reason for this get-up?
Well, I'm going out. I've been invited to a demonstration of conjuring and magic. It includes necromancy, legerdemain, and prestidigitation.
Sure. Joy, I'm glad you said that.
Why?
Otherwise, I'd have had to say. But who's giving this demonstration, Joy?
Giving?
Jimmy?
Yes, he's taking up conjuring as a hobby, and this is his first public show. I've got two tickets. Dick, would you like to come along and look at Jimmy from the front?
Sure, anything's better than looking at him from the rear. Come on, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the bottle of beer and the glass have inexplicably changed places. As angel. Now, for my next trick, I shall require the assistance of a lady and gentleman from the audience. One lady and one gentleman, please. One lady and one gentleman.
I have come.
Thank you. Which are you? Oh, yes, I see now.
Mm-hmm.
And, and the young lady?
Oh, hello, Jimmy. What on earth have you got on your head?
It's a turban.
Oh.
I say a turban. Actually, it's just a towel. It gives the impression I come from the East.
It certainly does. Across the front, it's marked Stepney Green Bars. Soap, threepence extra. And the other clothes, Jimmy. Look at the length of your shirt.
Joy, this is the damn thing. All well-dressed conjurers have 2 inches of shirt showing.
Yes, but not at the back of your jacket. Well, hadn't you better do some tricks?
Oh, yes. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll observe I have here an ordinary pack of playing cards, a quite ordinary pack, as used every day in BBC offices.
May I shuffle, Jimmy?
Yes, if you're feeling uncomfortable, Dick. Now, I give the cards to the young lady here. Now, I want you to take any card of any suit. Shall I pick a suit over you?
Well, from the look of the one you're wearing, maybe you better let me do it. Well, here you are, the Ace of Clubs.
Thank you. Now, you, sir, I want you to... What are you staring at, Ben Shady?
Did you get that suit from Hutch?
Why, Hutch?
There's a rabbit living in the back. He keeps looking at me and twitching his nose.
You should be used to people doing that by now. I wanted that rabbit to keep out of sight. Down, Harvey. But he's a bit nervous because his wife is in there with him. Now, Bentley, I want you to take this large bowl of goldfish and hold it up for the audience.
Come on, Dick, lift it up. Not too heavy for you, is it?
Too heavy for me? Oh, Joy, have you seen my muscles?
No, where did you put them?
In my other suit. Oh, Joy!
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, the goldfish bowl and the card are now in full view. I will pass the card into the goldfish bowl. Got the card, Joy?
Yes, I'm holding it up.
Good. Keep that bowl steady, Bentley. Now, throw it at me. Thunderhead! Look what you've done all over me. Bentley, you are a talk.
What a talk?
A backward clock. Ruined mid-trick. I'll have to go on to the finale. Ladies and gentlemen, before your very eyes, I will produce not one rabbit, but two. I say the magic word, abracadabra, and there they are.
Oh,
my gosh, look at them all.
Oh, no. not two rabbits, but 16, Jimmy.
16 rabbits? I don't understand it. How on earth did that happen?
Ring down the curtain, Jimmy. We'll have a man-to-man talk.
when the old man died. 90 years without slumbering, tick tock, it's life that's a slumbering, tick tock, it's tough.
Keynotes, that was grand. Ah, Jimmy, I wish I had their sense of rhythm. If I could sing like the keynotes, people would come from all over to see me.
They certainly would. You'd have four heads. It's no use your considering... Eh?
Hmm?
Unexpected. It's no use your considering singing, basically. When you remember when you did ill Travatore? Travatore wasn't just ill, he was on the danger list.
You may scoff, Jimmy, but I've been at Covent Garden Opera House. Up to last Saturday, I was in the tails of Hoffman.
Well, what happened on Saturday?
Hoffman had a wedding and he wanted his tails back. I've been nursing that gag for ages.
Well, you can relax now, Dick. It just died. Come on, fellas, let's look in the mirror of the week. On Monday, they have a big winter sale of furs at Beaver Hall.
That should be worth a visit. Who do I know who collects furs?
Your mum, Jim. She's a clippy on a 43 bus. I can see her now going up and down yelling, "Furs, please!" Yes, and dreaming all the while of her wandering boy. Oh, come on, Jim Edwards.
But, Wallace, it would be injudicious of me to return to my former habitat. Wouldn't it? Around the BBC, I can mingle with the upper crust.
The upper crust? What's the upper crust? Just a lot of crumbs held together by their own dough. Now, Jim, learn a trade. Like Big Potter. He's in the wholesale cheese business.
Wholesale cheese?
Yeah. He sells the old they put in Gruyere cheese. And look at old Fred Potter. He's on the road.
Commercial traveller.
No. You know when you go along the Great North Road at night in your car?
Yes.
You see all them little cat's eyes in the middle of the road light up in front of you?
Well, you don't think they come on of their own accord, do you?
Well, that's what Hoffman told me. That's just one of his tales, Mr. B. No. Old Fred is stationed on the Great North Road from dusk to dawn. As soon as he sees your headlamps approaching, he jumps on his bicycle, pelts up the road, and switches the cat's eyes on, all ready for him. Then as soon as you park, he pelts back again, switching them off.
Well, he must move fast. I've driven up the Great North Road at 60.
Well, he's only 45, Mr. B. Oh, he's a lot nippier than you.
But, Wallace, I still don't get it. I've always been told that a cat's eye is something that's set in the middle of the road to reflect.
That's Fred. On a night like this, he sits there for hours reflecting.
Reflecting what?
Reflecting there must be a warmer way of earning a living. So if you really want to shine, come home, Jim Edwards.
Mirror of the Week.
It was stated this week that auditions are being held at Alexandra Palace for children to announce the children's television program. Hundreds of eager kiddies have applied for this job, and the television staff are having quite a harrowing time.
All right, kiddie winkies. Line up in front of the camera, one by one. Hey, you with the pimples, stop rocking the mouth.
Excuse me, mister.
Oh, what a sweet little girl and such lovely golden curls. Climb on my lap, dear. What do you want to tell me?
I think I'm going to be sick.
Get off my lap, dear. Now then, where's my list of applicants? Which is H. Beer Bone sitting born?
That's me, Fatty. Here. Which is Sylvia Peters' dressing room?
Never mind that boy. Let's try you at reading. Now, just read an ordinary, normal, everyday television announcement. This one is about the best.
I know. We apologize for the breakdown. Normal transmission will be resumed as soon as possible.
Ghastly. Now, let's try you for vision. Now, just stand there while I get you into focus. Try and make some fairly natural gesture. That's a very rude thing to do. Very nasty little child. I bet you're the one who put the drawing pin on Algernon Blackwood's armchair.
Mister, may I try now?
Oh, it's that sweet little girl. Well, let's hear you recite. What have you got ready?
I've got a bit of Muffin the Mule.
Oh, charming. The first verse?
No, his hind legs. I chopped it up with my little hatchet. Recitation. The Lost Teddy Bear by Felicity May Baxter. Today I lost my little teddy bear. My mommy said I left him in the rain. I've hunted everywhere for my little teddy bear. And now I think I will be sick again.
Do you mind if I join you? Now, kiddies, mind this thick cable on the floor. It's what we call the coaxial cable. You've only got to touch it and... Beer Bone sitting born, what are you doing with that girl's hatchet? Don't!
We apologize for the breakdown. Normal transmission will be resumed as soon as possible. This week is the crucial week as regards votes. The eyes of the world are turned to the spectacle of a great people exercising their democratic rights to vote for whom they choose. We refer, of course, to the National Film Awards.
To help the voting along, Tice recorded this interview with a typical film goer.
Now, Miss Andrew, during this past year, what gave you most pleasure in the cinema?
Oh, I haven't seen a picture for ages.
You don't go to the cinema?
Every week that I go with Gilbert, so I don't get much chance to look at the screen. As once he gets in the back stall, Gilbert wouldn't come out of the clinch even if Lassie had kittens. Not that he ever...
No, of course not. But don't you agree that this year some of the British pictures have been very bright?
Oh, yes. Gilbert says it's these bright pictures that are taking all the pleasure out of the two and three. All that light is distracting, and he says it's...
Quite. Yes, it's a point of view, of course. But hasn't any film given you a memorable thrill?
Oh, yes. Gilbert got 2 tickets for the Blue Lamp, and we had a really smashing evening as a result.
You think the Blue Lamp is a fine film?
I don't know. You see, he gave the tickets to Mum and Dad.
On Friday the 3rd are the finals of the World Cocktail Championship.
We've never actually seen a cocktail mixing championship, but somewhat under the influence of last week's Mills Maxim contest, we imagine the broadcast of the cocktail shaking finals would sound something like this.
Well, here I am at the bar side, and the two contestants are coming into the bar now. In the far corner is Brandy Butcher, and facing me, the champion, Eggnog Edwards. Both boys have shorts, of course. One has a gin in it, the other a small whiskey. And now the referee is addressing.
I want you boys to get in there and really mix it. Give the crowd a real good bottle. Now, back to your corners, and may the best win, best man win on pints.
Any minute now, the timekeeper will start the contest off.
Time, Chisholm, please.
They're both out of their corners. The champion is going all out for his opponent's gin. Wait, Edwards is protesting to the referee. The champ looks absolutely in agony. Three barmen say it's obviously a case of champ agony.
Stop the contest. I've been got at.
What's the trouble?
Oh, these bay leaves I want to use. They're not bay leaves at all. They're centipods. I'm not going to swallow that. Somebody's a crook.
Sensation. Who can it be? Butcher's looking a little white about the gills. They're taking the cocktails over to the judges. 16 cocktails. The judges drink the first one, now the second, and now the next, and the next. They've drunk the whole 16. The judges have their heads together, and now they're going to speak.
I will always be glad to
what is there to do about it? Still, my friend Emma has too much of this, but she wouldn't be Emma without it. My friend Emma says muscles are no fun. I chase each moth from clock to clock and never hit anyone. My friend Irma says that's where the lonesome butchers go when looking for romance. He really thinks a boy talk is just a bed for talk. That two and two are 22 and Grady boats are yacht. My friend Irma has her own delightful hold. She's like a child who'll drive you wild but still you never fold. Be like my friend Irma and keep yourself from growing old. Although I must admit she's dumb, she couldn't be more happy-hearted. The well-known intellect may leave you glum, but from Irma you wouldn't be parted. My friend Irma says, I have always known that when you call musicians, doctor, you need a saxophone. My friend Irma says, bird dogs are a lot. I bought a pup and he grew up but never learned to fly. He bought a clock last summer and now her wall is blank. He heard of daylight saving time and took it right to the bank. My friend Irma lives in a world apart, but men prefer their dates with her. She makes them feel so smart. Maybe my friend Irma is not so very dumb at heart.
Thank you, Miss Nichols, and greetings, gentlefolk. Our film today is the biography of a great pioneer of medicine, the man who drew the world's attention to that dread scourge of mankind, the chilblain. Yes, it is a film so medical that after its first showing, the whole audience put their tongue out. Listen to what the radio doctor said to the cinema manager.
Just take your shirt off. Now say 1 and 9, please.
You too will feel a cold hand on your heart. For this is the tale of an age-old menace, which brings us to Bentley. Yes, our star is Richard Bentley, who has posed for many DDT advertisements. See him today as young Dr. McCockney, struggling against prejudice and superstition in his endeavor to cure chilblain.
I don't care what your granny says. You'll never cure him that way. There must be a better method. Something of the doctor, I don't understand. There must be a better method than cutting your toe off.
The feminine lead is played by infectious Miss Joy Nichols, who has been going out with the only son of a wealthy, you know, delegate. She is now known as the lass with the delegate heir. Oh, that was a late successful one, was it not? Oh, no, it was not. See Miss Nichols as the doctor's faithful nurse.
We always work together. I helped him isolate the rare French fever. or as it's usually called, Siva la France. But he cannot choose between his love for me and his love for medicine. He even wrote a song about it. Thermometers or you.
How does it go?
Thermometers or you, I heard a robin sing.
Yes, I myself play Dr. McCutney's enemy, an old-fashioned surgeon who doesn't even know which bone is connected to the thigh bone. You in the front there, what's the answer? You don't know, eh? Write out 100 times, I must not sleep during radio shows. Ladies and gentlemen, folks, we present Chilblain's Hour, or From Bed to Nurse.
It is 1889 at Surgeon's Hall in Edinburgh. In his laboratory, young Dr. McCockney is bent over his microscope.
Nurse, I want another slide.
Oh, Doctor, you can't keep going up and down those banisters.
But it helps me think. I'm determined to find out everything one can do to a chilblain, starting from scratch. I've prepared 400 different specimens for my microscope. But whenever I look down, there's just nothing.
Well, that's because you're shutting the wrong eye. Oh, Doctor, it breaks my heart to see you slaving while the rest of the medical world mocks you.
That is the fate of pioneers. Nurse, will you do the splint?
Eh?
Do the splint. Ah, very funny, nurse. Now, get up and send in some more guinea pigs.
Oh, Doctor, I beg of you, give up this children research. The DNA says you're acting unprofessionally. Professor Edward threatens to have you struck off the roll.
He can't do that. I got my degree in Geneva.
Then he'll have you struck off the Swiss roll. Beware of him. His ideas are old-fashioned.
Ah! That's Mr. Lichino, I'm struggling.
Ah, I tell you, gentlemen of the DNA, you'd be amazed. Dr. McCockney's theories are rubbish. There is no cure for chilblain. I've studied all sorts of patients at one of our finest hospitals.
Guys,
dames, kids, all sorts of people. I know what I'm talking about. I've had chilblains on my agenda for a long time. And that's a painful place to have them.
Professor Edwards, you're out of date, old-fashioned and incompetent.
Oh, a radio critic, I presume.
No, a patient of yours. You once gave me vitamin pills. And you know what they turned out to be? Birdseed.
I gave you birdseed? Arrant nonsense.
Yes, it was a cheap trick, sir. You hear me? Cheap.
I dove it was birdseed. I'll put a stop to this argument. I'll go round to Dr. McCockney and expose him for the scoundrel he is.
No use. All failures. Show me some case history.
But look at this diagram of patient X. He was a strange type. A very tall man, under 6 feet.
If he's very tall, how can he be under 6 feet?
They buried him yesterday. Doctor, you're working too hard. All this morning you were crouched over your bench.
Yeah, I couldn't help it. I got my nose stuck in the top of the test tube. Well, I must finish my research before Professor Edwards comes to destroy me. Oh, that will be him now, nurse.
Oh, ah, there you are. Dr. McCockney, you're a quack, you hear? Quack.
Are you staying here or flying south for the winter?
Neither. I have come to expel you ceremoniously from the role of doctor.
But don't you see what my research proves? The chromosome factor and the blood count index are in a dead ratio.
And you know what the dead ratio is?
Of course, it's that show with Kitty Blewett and Dead Ray.
Professor, you're shot by. Oh, don't you realize this proves my theory? Oh, if only I had someone upon whom to experiment. I'm talking scientifically now.
So am I. Oh, Doctor, I knew the professor would never believe your theories unless you could experiment on a human being. So I infected myself with the chilblain virus.
Great, lucky horse, please. I'm a skeptic. Stand in front of the x-ray screen. Oh, switch on. Look what the screen shows.
Good heavens, she's swallowed Joan Gilbert.
That's the television screen.
Oh, no. Look over here. If you look closely, you can see the little microbes. They're chasing each other through the tunnels of my blood system.
Yes, it's exciting. Looks just like the final scene in The Third Man.
McCockney, here's your chance. This beautiful girl must not be condemned to a lifetime of wintergreen ointment.
Oh, but I cannot. I love her. I've just realized it. You mean, you were only a nurse, but when you stood in front of that x-ray, I realized there was something beautiful deep down inside of you.
Oh, then operate, my dearest Dr. McCockney. Oh, no, I can't keep calling you Dr. McCockney now. What is your first name?
Thaddeus.
Well, Dr. McCockney, operate.
Prepare the operating table and put the patient under.
It would not be a bit dark working under the table, Doctor.
Under the anesthetic.
She's on the table now. Are you looking at her history?
Well, no, I was looking at her geography. Are you feeling all right, my dear?
Yes, dear. Thaddeus. Though I must admit that lying on here in front of two men, I feel a little uncomfortable.
We are doctors, my dear. Why should you feel uncomfortable?
I'm sitting on the scalpel.
There, we'll stop. Now, who's going to operate?
Let's cut for it. You win.
Right. Have you got the forceps?
No, I couldn't find them all. Will two-step do?
Fine. Absolutely said it. Now, scalpel.
Scalpel.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Suture.
Suture.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Clamp.
Clamp.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Scissors. Alcohol.
Oh, there, pull yourself together, Professor.
Now, how about the patient?
I think she's round.
You should see her in the bathing suit.
Oh, where am I? Where am I?
Just here, bottom of page 18. My dear, this young man has convinced me the operation is a success.
Oh, darling, Thaddeus, have you been vindicated?
Only on my arm when I was a child.
Oh, your name will go down in history. I'm recovered. I'll be able to play rugby again.
Now, no, my dear. Some of the thanks belong to the professor. He donated the new skin we grafted on. Donated it from his own upper lip.
And now you too will go down in history, my dear.
Why?
You're the only girl in the world whose left toe has a handlebar moustache.
Frank Cancel and the augmented BBC review orchestra bring our show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Aaron Dean, and the keynote. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in next week and...